Benjamin Norton Bugbee, Sacramento Champagne King, written and spoken by Kevin Knauss. Chapter 2, Migration, Furniture, and Farming, 1849-1856. Connecticut to California. News headlines about the California gold discovery and the ease of striking it rich in the waters of the American River were commonplace in East Coast newspapers by late 1848. Shortly thereafter, numerous advertisements printed in papers in Massachusetts, where Bugbee was living and working at the time, announced the formation of mining companies and ships setting sail for California. It would have been hard for a 21-year-old with just a small thirst for adventure not to read these ads and daydream about California. At the time, Bugbee had several options for traveling to California. He could either join a party of men to walk across the country to the West Coast, or he could hitch a ride on a sailing vessel. He chose a third option of reducing travel time with part sea travel and part overland trek. Bugbee was working in Quincy, Massachusetts when he first heard about California gold. Convinced that California was calling his name, he went back to Connecticut and started preparing for his big adventure. He recognized the challenges he would face in California, the primitive conditions, high prices, and lack of easily accessible implements for living and mining. He put together the necessary tools and equipment to take with him for an extended stay in California. Hamden Mining and Trading Company. Bugbee also joined the Hamden Mining and Trading Company, which would charter the vessel John Castor. Hamden County, Massachusetts is just north of Connecticut and very close to Stafford, where Bugbee's family was farming. Springfield, Massachusetts was one of the large urban areas in that part of the region and would have been a magnet for men to gather and formulate plans for traveling to California. Several men from the surrounding towns joined the company. The plan was to take a ship to Point Isabel, Mexico, disembark and travel over the mountain range to Mazatlan, where the company would catch another ship up the coast to California. The Hamden Mining and Trading Company secured passage on the schooner John Castor and set sail on January 29, 1849. One of the members of the mining company was Asa Bimmett Clark, who published an account of his expedition to California in 1852. Bimmett chronicles most of the trip that Bugbee endured on his trek to California. The schooner landed on Brazos Island on February 21st, and the group started making its way up to Brownsville, which was right across the Rio Grande from Matamoros, traveling by boat. The area was suffering from an outbreak of cholera that would kill several of the men in the company. By February 26, they had reached Reynoso. On February 28th, they landed 6 miles from Camargo and set up camp. The rest of the journey would be on mule back and foot. They crossed the Rio San Juan at Camargo on a ferry with 2 teams of oxen pulling their equipment. At the beginning of March, more men were sick with cholera, a scorching sun and persistent wind and dust adding to their misery. On March 2nd, the company voted to split into 3 divisions, apportioning the property of the company under each division's responsibility. By the 18th of March, they had reached Monterrey, Mexico. On March 25th, most of the company had made it to a little town called Parras, about midway on the journey to Mazatlan. At this point, with many men suffering from extreme hardships and not looking forward to another sea voyage, the Hamden Mining and Trading Company dissolved into 2 groups. One group, with which Bugbee was associated, decided to continue on to Mazatlan. Asa Bimmett Clark and his group decided not to travel to Mazatlan because of a tall mountain range that had to be crossed and the reportedly high number of men waiting in Mazatlan for a ship up to California. Clark decided to head north up to Chihuahua and into New Mexico to get to California. It would take him another 3 months to reach California, enduring an illness that forced him to rest for weeks and the most miserable desert conditions imaginable. In August of 1849, Clark finally got to some gold mining spots along the Stanislaus and Tuolumne Rivers. He retreated to San Francisco when the rain came and spent the winter in a rented room on Clay Street. By contrast, once on the Pacific coast, Bugbee and the second group of men would get another sailing vessel to resume the voyage to California. The company was able to secure passage on the French ship Olympia and sail up to San Francisco. They landed in California on June 12, 1849. While Bugby may have had to wait weeks for a ship to transport him from Mazatlan to California, he also avoided the agony of trying to cross the vast expanse of desert that nearly took Clark's life. Clark would prospect for gold along the Yuba River and open up a mercantile business in Marysville and Sacramento in 1850. In March of 1851, he left California and returned to the East Coast. Bugby made the journey to California with several men who, like Bugby, decided to make California their home. Among the pioneers from the Hamden Mining and Trading Company were Israel Luce and James McClatchy. Israel Luce was born in Ithaca, New York in 1824. He learned the marble cutting trade in Troy, New York. He later became experienced in marble monument work in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. He signed on to the Hamden Mining and Trading Company in 1848 for the journey west. He arrived ahead of Bugby and went up to Coloma to mine for gold. He built the 9 Mile House along the American River and ran that for a while. He also mined below Cape Horn in Colfax. As early as December 1850, Luce was importing Vermont marble and advertising tombs and headstones at reasonable terms. He had set up his office on 7th Street between J and K in Sacramento. In 1855, Luce was asked to visit a marble deposit near the Carson and Colorado Railroad Company's line by Owens Lake, California. The deposit was of such high quality that Luce became the superintendent of the newly formed Inyo Marble Company. Like Bugby, Luce came to California Democrat but switched to the Republican Party during the Civil War. He died suddenly in October 1898 in Sacramento. Bugby arrived in California with another adventure seeker by the name of James McClatchy. McClatchy was born in 1824 and immigrated to New York from Ireland at an early age. Like virtually all of the young men who came to California in 1849, McClatchy tried gold mining with little success. He then returned to his chosen profession of journalism. Before traveling to California, McClatchy worked for newspaper publisher Horace Greeley and would go on to write articles for the New York Tribune from California. In California, McClatchy settled in as the city editor for the Daily Bee in 1857. In 1863, he would defeat Bugby for the Republican nomination for Sacramento County Sheriff. This ended McClatchy's position as editor-in-chief of the Daily Bee and Bugby's position as sheriff. McClatchy would go on to win the office of sheriff and spark minor squabbles with Bugby over the collection of taxes. At that time, the sheriff was also the ex officio tax collector for local, county, and state taxes. After his stint as sheriff, McClatchy moved briefly to San Francisco, but returned shortly to purchase an interest in the Daily Bee. He was one of the founding members of the Association of California Pioneers, of which Bugby was also a member. McClatchy was also a member of the Land Reform Club of New York, along with Horace Greeley, before he came to California. He carried his philosophy of progressive policies to keep public land within the reach of settlers and away from monopolizing influence of large corporations with him to California. McClatchy and Bugby would become members of several of the same organizations and would be involved in many political and philanthropic causes together. But it was an uneasy friendship. Bugby would often complain that the Daily Bee was distorting the truth of some of his business dealings. James McClatchy died in 1883. Bugby would go on to echo some of McClatchy's philosophy of land reform in later years, when Bugby ran as an independent candidate for sheriff in 1894. Return from Connecticut. Word eventually reached Bugby that his father had died in the fall of 1849. He returned to Connecticut to pay his respects to his father in 1851. On June 23, 1852, Bugby, with his new bride, Mary Jane Wells, stepped off the steamer Columbia at San Francisco. Their first ship from the East Coast had landed them in Panama. After crossing over the isthmus, they boarded the Columbia in Panama City and set sail again on June 4th. The steamer made a brief stop in Acapulco and then headed to San Francisco with over 100 passengers bound for the Golden State. Bugby's second arrival in California was just over 3 years from when he first set foot in California in 1849. Upon his return to California in 1852, he brought with him two things. First were his connections to East Coast goods, and second was Mary Jane Wells, his new wife. Bugbee's days as a full-time placer miner were over. With a new bride, he set out to engage in business that would provide a proper home for him and Mary Jane. He tried his hand at hotel management, eventually purchasing the Monte Cristo Hotel on the Coloma Road 18 miles east of Sacramento in 1852. The hotel business seemed not to be Bugbee's calling, and he opened up a furniture store on the corner of 5th and K Streets in Sacramento in April of 1853. He advertised it as a furniture and upholstery ware room. His connections with East Coast merchants had arrived in the form of furniture and bedding. His advertisement read, "The undersigned begs respectfully to announce to the citizens of Sacramento and vicinity that he has received a well-selected stock of good in the above line, and being connected with some of the best houses in the eastern markets, he offers inducements that cannot be surpassed by any place of business in the country. B. N. Bugbee." In June of 1853, he would add barber and dentist chairs to the list of furniture for sale, along with cabinet and upholstery work done to order. It's curious that Bugbee had his name printed as B-U-G-B-Y without the E in the newspaper advertisement. As he changed the advertisement several times during its five-month run, he could have easily corrected the spelling of the last name if it was a typesetting error, but he didn't. Perhaps he was trying to establish his name without the E for other reasons. But he was referred to as Bugbee with the E in a March 1853 story about the delegates to the local Democratic Party convention. His decision in 1853 to use Bugbee without the E as his last name contributed to later references of that spelling in stories about his duties as constable of Granite Township. Regardless of the motivations for initially dropping the E in his name, he may have wanted to reestablish the original spelling in light of the crimes of another person. Ed Bugbee made the newspaper for his escape from the Jackson Jail in Amador County. Edward Bugbee, who had served time in state prison, was arrested for robbing a saloon keeper in Drytown. He was also known to Sacramento law enforcement as a thief and a swindler. His crimes, escape, and capture routinely made it into the local newspapers. It was probably best that Bugbee worked to reassert the correct spelling of his name to avoid any confusion with a local thief. Once he became sheriff of Sacramento County, most references to his last name, excluding an occasional typographical error, were correctly printed as Bugbee with the E. Unfortunately, the incorrect spelling would reappear after he went into retirement. The way Bugbee would sign his name with cursive penmanship, the E would be hard to detect in his signature. Consequently, his name in newspaper stories would once again be Bugbee without the E. By the end of July 1853, Bugbee discontinued advertising his furniture business. More furniture import stores were opening, and constant private sales of used furniture helped depress prices. In a thumbnail biography of Bugbee published in 1901, the reasons given for the closure of the store were the numerous fires and floods that plagued early Sacramento and increased competition in the Sacramento market for such goods. However, 1853 was a relatively calm period in Sacramento's history in relation to floods and fires, so most likely it was the growing competition that hastened the demise of the business. Gold River Farming. As the furniture business withered, Bugbee decided to return to his father's occupation and become a farmer. He found a plot of land between Salisbury Station and the American River, 16 miles east of Sacramento, approximately where the community of Gold River in Rancho Cordova is today, at the foot of the Fair Oaks Bridge. The farm was north of the Coloma Road, 9 miles to the west of Negro Bar. Fresh vegetables were in higher demand than furniture, and they had a larger market. Crop prices were still relatively high, as production farming was still in its infancy in the 1850s. Bugbee went into farming business with his wife and partner T.H. Hofteling. They purchased the property in 1853 or 1854. The Bugbee's farm, originally part of the Rio de los Americanos land grant to William Alexander Leidesdorf, Jr., had not yet been officially surveyed. Sacramento County Sheriff William S. White, who sold the land at public auction, entered the property description using the meets and bounds property system. At a stake on the bank of the American River, about 16 miles from Sacramento City, and nearly opposite the 16-mile house on the Coloma Road, from which stake a white oak tree about 6 inches in diameter bears east by compass and 8 units distance running thence south 40 degrees, east 40 chains to a stake, thence north 49 degrees, east 41 chains, and 35 links to a stake on the bank of the American River, thence along the bank of said river, with its meandering to the place of beginning, being the southeast quarter of Section 13, Township 4, together with certain other real estate. From the landmarks of Coloma Road, 16-mile house, Salaberry Station, and distance from Sacramento, Bugbee's farming operation would be in the vicinity of today's Gold River in Rancho Cordova. This would have put it within the Rancho Rio de los Americanos land grant. Mexican land grants were not originally included in the government land surveying system. It's unclear why the description lists Section 13 of Township 4. Township 4 of the Mount Diablo base meridian would have put the property 24 miles to the south, but the description clearly states the property was on the American River. A map of the Rancho Rio de los Americanos land grant drawn in 1857 does indicate the general location of Bugbee's first foray into farming in California. Leidesdorf had received the Rancho Rio de los Americanos land grant from the Mexican government in 1844. It was approximately 35,500 acres, with the northern boundary being the American River. The land grant also extended east to encompass what would become the city of Folsom. Leidesdorf died on May 18, 1848, just as the gold rush was getting underway. The greatest restriction on successful farming in the Central Valley in the 1850s was access to water during the growing season. Below Negro Bar, south of the American River, the foothills and bluffs give way to a more level landscape. In some places along the river, the bank might only have been 3 or 4 feet above the water line. Depending on the topography, it was possible to cut a ditch from the river to divert water for farming. This had already been done in several places along the American River. John Sutter powered a grist mill on the south side of the American River by digging a trench that powered a water wheel. Afterward, the water was returned to the river. Bugbee had some experience with cutting water canals along the river. He was involved with a mill race to a flour mill on the north side of the American River in 1852. He and his partner most likely fashioned some sort of system to divert water from the river and onto their farm. Bugbee's farm was not too far from a little stagecoach stop called Salisbury Station, later to become a stop on the Sacramento Valley Railroad line. On his new California farming adventure, he grew vegetables. He could either cart his produce to Sacramento or up to Negro Bar and sell vegetables to the miners. Bugbee's location at Salisbury Station allowed him to watch as the new Sacramento Valley Railroad was being built between Sacramento and the bluff above Negro Bar. He had read that the man who engineered the path for the Sacramento Valley Railroad, Theodore Judah, had also been hired by Captain Folsom, now the owner of the Leidesdorf land grant, to lay out a new town above the American River. The proposed town of Granite City would be a station stop for the Sacramento Valley Railroad as it crossed the American River and traveled north to Marysville. Folsom Roots. After Leidesdorf died in 1848, Captain Joseph Libby Folsom stepped in. Captain Folsom, who was stationed in the San Francisco region, was familiar with Leidesdorf's land grant and set about to acquire it. There was much controversy and litigation over the acquisition of the Leidesdorf property by Folsom. In 1854, Folsom hired Theodore Judah, who had been brought out west to engineer a railroad from Sacramento up to the gold mining regions near Negro Bar, to design a town at the eastern edge of the Rancho Rio de los Americanos land grant. Folsom was an officer of the Sacramento Valley Railroad, so he was familiar with its proposed route and economic potential for the region. The town Judah laid out was named Granite City and was perched on the bluffs above Negro Bar and the American River. On July 19, 1855, Joseph Folsom died at Mission San Jose. In February 1856, the executors of Folsom's estate, Halleck, Peachy, and Van Winkle, changed the name of Granite City to Folsom. It was also in February of 1856 that the Sacramento Valley Railroad made its first run from Sacramento to the new town of Folsom. Before the completion of the Sacramento Valley Railroad out to Folsom, the executors of Folsom's estate had already started selling lots in the town that Theodore Judah had helped design. It wasn't too hard to figure out that this new town of Folsom would become a real business center. The railroad would be bringing people and goods up from Sacramento to the mines or to catch stagecoaches east. Even though placer mining was waning by the mid-1850s, hard rock mining and other activities were beginning to take root in the Sierra foothills. Bugby decided to stake his future in the emerging town of Folsom by purchasing some lots and building the first frame house there in February 1856. The auction of the Folsom lots was held on January 16, 1856 at the offices of J.B. Starr on Front Street in Sacramento. The terms of the sale were one half cash and one half in 90 days, with interest at the rate of 1% per month until maturity, and after maturity, an interest rate of 2% monthly until paid. High bidders for the lots could also pay the full amount for the lot on that day. Bugby made sure that he was at that auction. He was the high bidder for lots 3 and 4 in Block 40 and lots 1 through 8 in Block 44. Bugby's winning bid for all the property was $43. With the purchase of the lots in the new town of Folsom, Bugby was setting his path to return to the California mining region he fell in love with when he first came west to mine for gold. The move to Folsom was not entirely voluntary. The farming business that the Bugbys and partner T.W. Hofteling entered together faltered, and the returns did not meet the partners' obligations. In 1855, they were sued by Robert Allen for $560. Judgment was rendered in August 1856 that the property they owned was to be sold to satisfy the debt. In any event, Bugby's first farming experience was not a total success compared to later endeavors. He and Mary Jane were now headed to the hills above the American River, the site of his first California mining venture. The Folsom lot purchases in 1856 were not random. The lots in Block 40, on the western end of Sutter Street, were on the site where Bugby had worked a drift mine in 1850 before departing for Connecticut. Over the next several years, in the late 1850s, Bugby would buy and sell various lots, all revolving around mining the bluff above Negro Bar. In one transaction, he sold 12 lots on Figueroa, Sutter, and Leidesdorf Streets for $4,000 in February 1857. Bugby, acting almost as sort of a land speculator that he would come to detest later in life, would purchase lots at steep discounts from other men. In August 1859, Bugby bought the mining rights for lots 1 through 8 in Block 40 from James Jenkins, Henry Middendorf, and William McLaughlin for $120. The deed very specifically applied to drift mining under the new town of Folsom. 3 feet in width on the outside of the fence, now enclosing said lots, also a passageway from said lot to brow of the bank fronting on Negro Bar, for tunneling mining or any other purpose at a point to be chosen by said party of the second part, under or above ground, granting the said party of the second part full permission to work in a tunnel of the parties of the first part himself or by proxy, and take from thence material sufficient to fill up certain excavations made by said parties of the first part, do hereby agree to in no wise interfere or cause any other person to do so with the above described premises under penalty of forfeiting the full value of the land and improvements, the above described premises being a portion of the mining claim belonging unto the said parties of the first part. As an illustration of how small the community of Folsom was at the time, in June 1859, Bugbee bought out the interest of P.R. Young in the mining claim on lots 1 through 8 in Block 40. P.R. Young was the justice of the peace in Granite Township and would later attest to the real estate transaction between Bugbee and the other men for the same lots. The bluff and hills above Negro Bar on the American River were not deserted. There were approximately 200 structures dotting the hills, most being the cabins of squatters. The town lots had been auctioned off from as low as $1 up to $400. With the arrival of the railroad, the lots had jumped in value from $55 to $4,500. The 49er philosophy of land and mining claims still prevailed amongst the mining population, a way of life in which you pitched your tent and laid claim to the public land that most suited your interest at will. Increasingly, the transient mining population in Folsom was coming into conflict with organized government, just as it had in Sacramento with the settlers' riots years earlier. Without good law enforcement, there were bound to be serious conflicts. Just as the Native Americans had been pushed off the land, now the gold miners, most of whom were just barely squeezing out a living, were being forced off the ground they had been calling home. Bugbee saw the conflicts, and he witnessed the robberies of local miners by gangs of men roaming the foothill region. He also saw an opportunity to move from farming vegetables to law enforcement. With a young wife and a new house, the steady paycheck of law enforcement officer would be welcome. Folsom was situated in Granite Township. Townships were unincorporated areas in Sacramento County. Each township elected its own constable for local law enforcement at the time. In October 1856, the Board of Supervisors created Granite Township, which was formerly part of Mississippi Township. These townships were not the same as the federal public land survey system of township and ranges that was used to map the land and sold to settlers. The new township was bounded by the American River to the north, Natoma Township to the east, Lee Township on the south, and Brighton Township on the west. The principal urban areas were Alder Creek, Folsom, and Salisbury Station. It contained over 22 square miles of territory. The primary purpose of the townships was local law enforcement, with an elected constable and justice of the peace to handle as many judicial matters locally as possible. Townships were also election precincts and used by the political parties at the county level as representative districts for delegates to conventions. In November of 1856, Bugbee ran for and won the election for Granite Township Constable, with 401 votes out of 1,304 cast. His nearest competitor was William Moody, who received 296 votes. With this modest electoral victory, Bugbee would weave his life in and out of politics and law enforcement for the better part of his life in Sacramento. If Bugbee considered himself a California 49er first, he thought of himself as a Folsom pioneer second. He identified his residence more with Folsom than any other place he lived. When he was elected Sacramento County Sheriff, he kept his primary residence in Folsom. When his Natoma Vineyard was thriving in El Dorado County, where he had built two homes, he still called Folsom home. It was only in the bitter depths of financial and personal hardship that he would leave the Folsom region that had crystallized his dreams of gold mining and becoming a Californian.